morning. Amen. Victory in Jesus. And the songwriter says, victory in Jesus. This morning, if you want victory, it'll only be in Jesus. Only be in Jesus. This morning, if you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to turn with me to John chapter number 11 this morning. While you're turning there, and I'm turning there myself, I just want to share a few things with you. We will start Sunday night services back next Sunday night. It'll be next Sunday night. Will be Sunday night services. We'll do Sunday morning at 9, Sunday night at 5, and Wednesday nights at 7. And then on November the 4th will be a Wednesday night. If I'm not mistaken on that date, November the 4th will be the first Wednesday night in November. We will come into the building with some guidelines that we'll go by. That's a tentative date. If something was to happen in between here and there, and we're praying it doesn't, amen? We will try to ease back into the building, try to stay social distance, and try to do what God has called us to do. But I want you to know, the battle is not to get in the building. Don't never mistake in the battle to get in the building. The battle is just to worship. The battle is just to come to a place where we can hear the Master call us. We hear the Master call us, and He's calling our names. This morning I'm going to preach a little title that God's laid on my heart this week. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. John chapter number 11, in verse number 34, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Before we do, I'm going to read another verse and then we'll get into it. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. John chapter number 11, verse number 34, and the Bible says, and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? And Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. And it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hast heard me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. And many other Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Our Father, we pray this morning for divine assistance. Father, we pray this morning for something that we cannot give. And Father God, that's comfort, that's love, that's peace, but that's a calling that only Jesus can do. Lord, if they be a man, woman, boy, or girl here this morning, saved or lost, either way, Lord, I pray this morning if you are calling on their heart to make a move for you, to make a move to come to an old-timey altar. Lord, I'd pray this morning they'd listen to that calling. Because, Father, you're still calling people. Father God, you didn't call us to set us, but you called us to save us. Lord God, I'd pray this morning that as we've read your word, that you would see fit from heaven to open the windows and pour out a blessing. Lord God, if that would please you, it sure would please us. And Father God, I pray this morning for Brother Randall Moore and his family as he's lost his mother last night. Lord, I pray for that sweet family. I lift them up to you. Lord, I pray for our president and his wife this morning. Lord God, the calling that you've put on his life. Lord God, I pray you restore his health. Father God, I pray this morning for the Boyette family that's lost a loved one. Lord, I pray you'd bless that family. Lord God, I pray this morning that where you're calling and you're touching hearts, I pray you wouldn't pass me by. Father, I love you. Father, I thank you. I ask it all in Jesus Christ's most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling this morning. And I want to share with you a few things this morning before we do anything else. And I just want to give this to you. And Jesus is calling. This will be the seventh miracle that Jesus has done in the book of John. First off, the first miracle that he did was he turned the water into wine. He turned something that was weak into something that was strong. Ain't that a miracle? The second one he did is he healed the nobleman's son. He healed that nobleman's son. The nobleman come to Jesus and he was sick. His son was sick. Ain't that how Jesus does? To take a sick man, he'll heal him. The third miracle that he did is he healed the invalid man. You know, the man that was at the Bethesda's pool and nobody had time to do anything with him, but Jesus healed him. He said, take up thy bed and follow me. The fourth miracle that Jesus would have done in the book of John was he fed the 5,000. Ain't that just how the bread of life does? No matter how many comes, there's always food at the Father's table. Oh, the fifth miracle that would take place was Jesus walked on the water. Ain't that just how Jesus does when the storms are rough in your life and the storms are raging and they're steadily coming your way? We got a Savior that can walk on the water. Oh, but the sixth miracle would be that he gave a sight to the blind man. The blind man sat there and was blind and could not see. He'd been blind from his birth. And Jesus, he gave him sight. But we come today and we come to the seventh miracle. And this miracle would entail the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, preacher, I don't see the gospel. Well, Lazarus was dead. Lazarus was buried and Lazarus was rose again. That is the gospel, my friend. Not that Lazarus was, but that Jesus was. The death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. All the way through the miracles, they couldn't understand what Jesus was doing. But this morning, I want to look at Jesus' calling. Jesus asked, where have you laid him there? If you'll look in verse number 34, the first thing Jesus said was, where have you laid him? He said, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. And when Jesus got to the place, he called on some people there. And this morning, I want to take just a moment that in every miracle that Jesus did, he called on people. Folks, this morning, he's still calling on people. He's still calling on men to be preachers. Friends, this morning, he's still calling on men to stand behind sacred desks and preach, thus saith the Word of God. He's still calling on women this morning to do things in the ministry as well. I thank God this morning for our praise and worship team. Can I get an amen? Friends, this morning, he's still calling on people to do things in the ministry. But I want to look this morning as who he called on this morning. Number one, I want to look at in verse number 39 that Jesus, he called on the onlookers. He called on the ones that were sitting there that were looking on. And look what he said in verse 39. And the second thing Jesus said, he said, take you away the stone. Now, if you don't read that in context, you'll think he's talking to Martha. But that's not who he's talking to. He said this. He said, In verse number 38, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, he came to the grave and it was a cave and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take you away the stone, period. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead for some time. Friends, I want you to know, he told the onlookers that were there, that was Martha here, he said, I want you to do something. I want you to roll away the gravestone. I want you to roll that gravestone back. Friends, I want you to know this morning, you don't need no gravestone. Hey, when the cornerstone shows up, can I get an amen? He said, I want you to take that gravestone away. Hey, because the cornerstone has showed up. He said, I want you to roll that gravestone away. He said, I want you to roll that back out of that life. And the first thing he did, he called on the onlookers. He said, there's some things I want you to roll away because the cornerstone has showed up. Friends, this morning he wanted them to roll away unbelief. Hey, that stone had done sealed it up. That stone had done sealed the fate of old Lazarus. Friends, this morning there's a lot of you, you may think there's some people that you know that he's done rolled that stone up. Hey, they're done dead. Hey, they're done out. But I want you to know, hey, just because that gravestone is rolled up, it don't mean that the cornerstone, hey, he can't show up. He said, roll away the unbelief. Hey, roll away the no hope. Can I get an amen? This morning, you may have unbelief. You may say he can do it in some people's life, preacher, but he can't do it in my life. Hey, I got news for you this morning. He's still in the miracle business. Hey, he's still in the saving business. Hey, he's still in the healing business. Hey, he's still in the calling business. He's still in the business of doing things when everybody else has gave up. And he called on the onlookers to roll away that stone of unbelief, to roll away that stone of no hope, and to roll away that stone of finality, that it's over, that there's no hope. Friends, this world that we live in, there's a lot of people's done been rolled off by a lot of church people. You say they're too far gone. Hey, they'll never turn around. Friends, if you'd have seen me before I got born again, I was one of them they rolled off. I was one of them that said there was no hope. Hey, he's born that way. Hey, it'll always be that way. Friends, I want you to know this morning, though, when the cornerstone showed up, there's some things that changed in my life. I'm not who I used to be. Can I get an amen? Hey, the Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And friends, I want you to know, when Jesus rolls that stone back in your life, there's going to be some onlookers that's going to look on. Hey, they're in unbelief. Hey, they're in unconcern. Hey, they do not care. But friends, this morning, when he rolls that stone back in your life, it'll do something in your life. Amen? And he says this morning, he rolled that stone away, and he rolled the stone away of it's over. Have you ever thought about that? That people says it's over. Have you ever heard of somebody get into trouble or get into something and they say it's over for him? Man, just throw away the key, lock him up and shut the door. Friends, Jesus didn't do that on me. Can I get amen? He won't do that on you. I told a man this week, and I believe it so much, he was talking about, he said, we don't hear of people getting saved no more. And you know what I told him? I said, if you'll share him, somebody will want him. And I believe that this morning. You know why the spout's about to dry up at Union Chapel and all these other churches? Is because of people like me that ain't sharing the gospel. He said that if we'll share that gospel, if we'll stir that gospel up, if we'll share what God's done in our life, somebody will want some of it. Can I get amen? Hey, there's a lot of onlookers looking on. There's a lot of people looking on. They're looking at Facebook posts. They're looking at your talk. They're looking at your wall. They're wanting you to slip up. There's a lot of onlookers. But friends, this morning I want you to know Jesus Christ, he can look at them, he can use them, and they can help you. These men that he called on here, I want you to know when they got to that place, he told them, roll that stone back. Friends, I want you to know, there's a lot of times in our life, you said, well, if it's going to be done, God's going to have to do it. There's a lot of times we're going to have to roll the stone back. We want God to roll the stone back. He said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to roll it back. There's some times in our life that we're going to have to roll the stone back in our own life and let God have his way. Friends, this morning, as I think about this, and I think about them onlookers, and I think about when I first got saved, and I think about Jesus' calling. Friends, you ever seen somebody under conviction of the Holy Ghost, and that old tear starts running down that face, and that old tender, that heart's getting tender. Friends, there's onlookers, they're watching you. The only Jesus they'll ever see is the Jesus that you are, the Jesus that lives inside of you. And I would ask a question this morning. If they watched your life, would it lead them to Jesus this morning? If they watched your life, would it lead them to Jesus this morning? He said, no, but let me give you this. He said he called on the onlookers and he said, hey, roll the stone away. He said, get that stone out of your life and roll it away. But he didn't only call on the onlookers, but he called on the Lord. Just don't miss that. Not only did he call on the onlookers to roll the stone away, but Jesus called on the Lord. Look what he says here in verse number 41. And he said this, then they took away the stone from the place. The onlookers did what he said to do. Then look at here. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Thank God. Where the dead was laid. Look here. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father. He said, Father. And I started this off with reading the model prayer. I started this off with reading the Lord's Prayer. You listen to this morning. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, and the Holy Spirit, they're all in one. Friends, you can't have one without the other. They go together. You can't separate them. You see what he did? He didn't tell us to pray one way and then him pray a different way, Brother Eric. He said, if you want God's attention, you call on the Father. Amen. Look what he said here in verse 41. He started off, he said, Father, I thank you. How do we start our prayer off? Our Father which art in heaven. He reverenced that Father. He is true to his word. Matthew 6:9, he started it off with that Father. Friends, I want you to know, he called on the Lord God Almighty. He called on him personally. He didn't get somebody else to pray for him. You know what he did? He says here, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. He prayed with personally. He prayed personally to the Father, but also he called on him perfectly when he prayed to him. He didn't stumble around. He got his petition out there and told it just like it was. Jesus is calling. He called on the onlookers. He called on the Lord. He called on him personally. He called on him perfectly. He came with thanksgiving. He came knowing that God heard his prayers when he called on him. Friends, this morning, God is not a God that cannot hear. He's not a God that's far away. He's near unto the saved. He's near unto the righteous. He's near unto the one that needs to be born again. God is near in the beginning. God. Can I get an amen? The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God. Friends, this morning, if you don't get nothing else this morning, you remember in the beginning was God and in the end will be God. Every day it's God. It's all about God. Hey, Jesus is calling that you would have a relationship with guess who? Nobody else than God Almighty this morning. But he says here, he said he called on the onlookers. He called on God Almighty. He called on him personally. He called on him perfectly. But then he called on him publicly. He called on him publicly. Now I'm going to share this with y'all, if I can give you anything. Yesterday we was at the little football game. You said, I don't want to hear what happened in your life. Everything that goes on in my life some way, Brother JD, is a spiritual moment with God. I reckon he knows I don't know how to study the word, so he has to give me just that one-on-one application, life application. At halftime of these games, you have to give a devotion. It's supposed to be all about God and less about football. And at halftime, man, I done got fired up and we was not winning. Can I get an amen? Guess who's the defensive coordinator, Brother Brian? That's me. So if we ain't winning, that means I've let down on my end and they scored more than we have. And I was standing over there, and I was fuming just a little bit. Not out loud. I mean, this is Christian base, amen? Like you wouldn't fume at church. This is Christian base, by the way. Amen? So I was standing there, and I seen that referee coming toward me, and I thought, Lord said, he's fixing to ask you to do a devotion. I said, I'm unprepared. Lord said, you're supposed to be instant in season, out of season. I said, Lord, I'm not ready. He said, you don't have to be ready. Just tell them about me. I said, Lord, where's that joker supposed to have done it at? Where ain't he showed up? He said, don't worry about him. Worry about you. Boy, he was wearing me out right there on that little field. I'm telling you, up one side and down the other. I'm talking about calling on the Lord personally. I'm talking about calling on the Lord perfectly. And I'm talking about calling on the Lord publicly. And as he come to me, he said, hey, preacher. I said, yes, sir. He said, the man with the devotion, I don't know where he is. Just give me a little bitty sermonette. Make it short and sweet, just like your people like it. I'm already hot on the collar. Can I get amen? And then you're going to tell me how to... We'll preach after a while. I just like to talk to y'all for a minute. So I'm walking out there, and I don't know my attitude. It stinks. And I said, Lord, what am I going to bring it on? And he said, you tell them boys to be prepared. You tell them boys to be prepared. No matter what goes on, you tell them be prepared. Folks, this morning, if I can give you anything, what I told them young men was be prepared. Because there may be times in your life that a man may not show up, but God will always show up. There may be a time in your life that you don't think you've got nothing, but what you put in that week, God will fill that tank up and he'll pour it out on somebody. I told them, young man, just as you were prepared and you wore your jersey, you wore your flags, you wore all these things, you must be prepared for the game of life. I told them, young man, it doesn't matter what you do in life. It doesn't matter what you become as long as you've got a relationship with God Almighty. Friends, that don't go for the ball team, but that goes for the members of this church. Hey, that goes for the United States of America. Hey, that goes for the President of the United States. Hey, that goes for everybody. It doesn't matter what you do in life, as long as you've got a relationship with God Almighty, it must not be a private relationship, but it must be public. Can I get an amen? Hey, if you're ashamed of him out here, you'll be ashamed of him when you get in the world. Hey, if you won't pray out here, you won't never pray out in public. Hey, if you won't pray here, you won't do it out there. Hey, if you can't worship here, you won't worship out there. If you can't worship when the sun's shining, you will not worship when it starts raining. You will not. So how do you know that? You learn that from older people in your life. Older folks in your life. The story is told. We're talking about how he called on the Lord. The story is told about an old preacher and a young preacher. And they was going to go to a conference. And they had to walk. And as they was walking to that conference, they got to a grassy area. And they sat down in that grassy area. And as they relaxed there, the old preacher told the young preacher, said, we might ought to pray before we go. He said, we might ought to pray. And that young preacher started praying. He started praying, Lord, give us this and give us that and help us here and help us there. And that old preacher, he just got to praying. He said, Lord, you know my sight ain't as good as it used to be and my hearing ain't as good. He said, Lord God, if it be your will, when we get to that conference, let me have a chair open up front, if it be your will. And he said, Lord God, you know the shoes that I got on, the bottom of them's wore slap out. And God, if it be your will, when we get to that place, Lord God, I just need some shoes. And he said, Lord God, you know it's a long travel and it'll be dark when we get out. He said, Lord God, can you just give us a roof over our head when we get to that place? Said that young preacher, when he got done preaching, that young preacher thought, well, what a fool. What a fool to ask something like that. What a fool to call on God in a time like this and want something like that. What a fool that would be. Said they got to that meeting that night and they finally showed up. And as they got to that meeting and they got there and they were standing around, said that the preacher got to preaching and the old man put his hand up trying to hear. And he got his hand right there. And said, as a woman up front looked back there and seen he was having a hard time hearing. And she said, sir, if it'd be okay with you, you can come up here and sit all the way up front. Hey, sir, if it'd be okay with you, hey, you can just come up here and say it. You know what a young preacher was? He stayed at the back door. That old preacher, they escorted him right in and set him at the front. Hey, it wasn't long. The preacher got to preaching. He got amen. And back in that time, we don't do it these days, but he got down on his knees. Can I get an amen? And as that old preacher squatted down and his soles of his shoes kicked up, that woman looked down and she said, Lord, he needs some shoes, Brother Harry. Lord, he needs some shoes on his feet. And as he looked down, she said, my daddy, he owns a shoe store. My daddy owns a shoe store. And when the conference was over, she said, sir, I don't want to offend you, but my daddy owns a shoe store. Can we go get you some new shoes? And said, as the young man walked with him over there, that old man went in and he sat down and he started fitting him for a pair of shoes. Started fitting him for a pair of shoes and got the shoes on. You see, the store was closed, but she had a key. Folks, the world's closing up, but we got a key, and it's the Father this morning. Hey, the world's closing up. Things going on in this world. They're shutting the churches down. But I want you to know we got a Father in heaven. He can't be shut down. He can't be stopped. He can't be silent. We got a Father in heaven that knows your needs this morning. So he got to that place, and as he was putting that shoe on, they got a phone call. She just said, sir, just be 1 minute if you don't mind. Be just 1 minute. The young boy just sitting there fuming. Done fuming, boy. He done got the front row seat, done got a new pair of shoes going on his feet. He was a fuming. He said that girl come back and said, you won't believe this, but so-and-so, a preacher, was supposed to be here tonight. He didn't come. And we got a room upstairs open in this shoe store. Said, would you like to have that room? And said, he turned around at that young boy and he said, do you want to stay? Folks, this morning I want to ask you a question. What do you want from the Father this morning? What's been on your heart for so long? I'm not talking about a want. I'm talking about a need. A need in your life that's been so strong and you just don't want to call it out. If he'd have never called it out, he'd have never got up front. This morning, you'll never get up front until you call it out. I'm not talking about jumping in front of people. I'm talking about getting your life where it needs to be until you call it out and let God know, hey, this is the need I need in my life. Folks, I want you to know them shoes was important. He said, sod thy feet. Shoes are important in our life. But I want you to know what's more important than all that story is this. We all need a place we can find rest and take rest in the night. You ever had a sleepless night? Laid in bed all night and flip and flop and didn't get no sleep. You ever been there? Friends, you know why we flip and flop and don't get no rest? Because we don't give it to the master. Folks, I want you to know that old man had a place to lay his head because he gave it to the master. Let me show you this. Not only did he get to that place in his life, and that young boy, he's seen what the older's doing. Folks, can I give you this? It don't matter what your age is. If you're an elder in this church and you're a senior saint, men, women, I don't care who you are this morning. If you've been saved for any time now, there's a younger generation looking up to you. They're looking on you to be faithful here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. Hey, they're looking for you to be faithful. Hey, they're looking on you to pray. They're going to model their prayers after the way you pray. Hey, they're going to model you right where you're at. I realize as a pastor of this church, if I don't like where the congregation is and I don't like where the flock's been led, I got to realize I'm the one led them there. Can I get an amen? Hey, I can't blame it on you. I got to take that on me. Hey, Sunday school leaders, if you don't like where the Sunday school's going, you led them there. Hey, I want you to know, worship team, if you don't like how the worship's going, you're the one led them there. Friends, this morning they're going to draw off you and they're going to draw off me, and we got to get to that place that we realize that God's calling on you and I to do things. He said not only did he call on the onlookers, not only did he call on the Lord God Almighty, and he called on him, he needed something, but he called on Lazarus. Not only did he call on the onlookers, not only did he call on the Lord, but he called on Lazarus. Look in verse 43 of the text, John 11, 43, and here is the text here. And when he had thus had spoken, when he had talked to God, he spoken and he cried with a loud voice. Folks, when you talk to God, you can speak with a loud voice. You know, I told y'all that story about Brandy tells me, quieten down. Quieten down. Just quieten down. Well, baby, I just really need to tell you, just quieten down. It's going to be the same. Before I ever bring a message to y'all, I done wore it out on her. Folks, this morning, I want you to know this, that when you've been where the master is, it don't take long to get loud. Amen? I've seen people that silent, reserved, quiet, and son, the Holy Spirit come upon them. It won't be long, they'll get loud. And I'm not talking only about audible, but I've seen men in this church come on the Holy Ghost and tears start rolling down that face. And them tears that would roll down that face would speak louder than any word that you could ever speak. That heart being melted, but he called on Lazarus in verse 43. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus called on Lazarus with assurance because he had done talk to the Father. He's our model. You said, well, Jesus could have raised him from the dead on his own, but he chose not to. So what do you mean? But the Bible says he called him, he came. Oh no, he talked to the Father first. He said, Father, I know you've heard me and you always hear me. So now I'm fixing to do something that they're going to have a hard time believing. There's a man dead. He's stinking. He's almost rotten. And I'm going to bring him back. Folks, this morning, maybe my attitude this morning is dead. Maybe it stinks and maybe it's rotten. But God said, I'm not done with you yet. I'm going to bring you back. Let me give you this. He cried with assurance. He cried out. He called on Lazarus. Was he able to be heard? But he could have whispered. Some of us, when he called on us to be saved, he had to call loud. I tell them this all the time, no matter where I go, you don't have to go through hell to get to heaven. You don't have to go down a path and have a testimony that's out of this world awful. You don't have to go down that path. You don't have to go down that path. You call on the Lord. You don't have to go down that path and go through that. He had assurance, he was able to be heard, and he was right on time. He said, come forth. But let me go back. I know it's hot. Let me get to this. He called on the onlookers to roll away the grave stone, but then he also called them onlookers to take off the grave clothes. Let me give you this. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And when the dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his faith was bound about them, Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. loose him and let him go. You ever seen somebody that you knew, man, hey, something ain't right? And then they get saved and you still think something ain't right about them? Loose them and let them go. If God saved them, you forgive them. If God forgive them, you forgive them. He said, loose him. Talking to the onlookers that there was always around, that they might believe, they might obey, and they might trust. In closing, not only did Jesus call on the onlookers, not only did Jesus call on the Lord, not only did Jesus call, listen to this, on Lazarus, but this morning he's calling on you, church. He's calling on me, church, that he might be able to roll away the stone of our life, whatever stone that may be, that he may be able to let loose and let go of something, that we let things go and let God have it. They are keeping you bound in shackles and chains. Whatever's got a hold of you this morning, you can be saved and still have on grave clothes. You can be resurrected. You can be brought forth, no more stinking, no more 4 days, nothing. You can be brought forth and still have on grave clothes. I ask you a question this morning. Do you still have on grave clothes? You're no longer in the tomb, but you may still have on the clothes. They're keeping you bound in shackles and chains. You say, what are some of them, preacher? Doubt, fear, discouragement, and the greatest one ever. After you've been saved, what will keep grave clothes on you is your past. Is your past. As Brother Eric Kruth is my witness, as I studied this, as he is my witness, we went to Broken Lives. And there was a young man in there that I graduated high school with. And as he was talking to me 20 years ago. 22 years ago. He was talking to me in a way 22 years ago. And every time he'd say, well, what are you doing now? I'd just smile real big and say, loving Jesus. And he'd ask something else and I'd say, just loving Jesus. He went to ask me again on another question. He said, well, let me just guess. You're just loving Jesus. Folks, you get this morning. I'm not who I used to be. You may know my past, but my past does not define me. You may know what went on in my past, and you may know some things about me, but do you know the Lord that saved me? People will dig up your past to try to keep you from having a future. But this morning I want you to know on the authority of God's Word, who the Son sets free is free indeed. I got one question for you. Is Jesus calling you? Let us pray. Father God, I love you. Lord, the sun's coming up. And the sun's coming up in the morning. Oh, glory. There'll be no tears. There'll be no sorrow over there. There'll be no pain. There'll be no IRS over there. Woo-hoo, glory. Hallelujah. There'll be no, none of them things over there. There'll be no power bills. There'll be no cancer. There'll be no COVID over there. Lord God, that sun's going to come up one morning and we're all going to not be here. Lord, I pray this morning that if you called on somebody, maybe they've been an onlooker for so long. They've never had a relationship. They just onlooked at other people's. They've had secondhand. Or maybe this morning they're born again, but they still got them old grave clothes hanging all around them because people put our past on us. Well, God, whatever the situation may be, Lord, I pray they call on you this morning. Say, Lord, I just need you. Need a touch from heaven. Lord God, we know you're still in the healing business. You're still in the healing business. You're still in the helping business because you're the holy God that we serve. Lord, I thank you so much for this worship team's behind me. Whatever song they're fixing to sing, I know right now you're going to get glory. Lord God, I just feel it in my spirit right now that somebody may be holding on to something. They don't need to come tell the preacher. I'm not their priest. I'm not their high priest. There's one high priest. His name's Jesus. And Lord God, they can go straight to him this morning and he'll take it straight to you. Father, you can't go to you without going through the Son. Lord God, whoever this morning knows that the Son's calling, I pray they answer that call. In the name of Jesus, I ask and do pray. And all of God's people say, amen.